Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Well, as if to literally make my point, as I opened a second ago talking about censorship, my entire stream gets shut down to zero. Interesting. So I now am beginning once again to talk about how it seems important that we recognize that there are topics we are trying to discuss, seemingly ones I'm talking about today, they very much do not want us discussing. And as I was pointing out before, the stream previously was completely disconnected. When you take a moment to look at the mainstream media, it's very clear that they're consumed with discussion of hurricanes and Paul Manafort and the Mueller indictments and things like this that have their place in the media. But in regard to what's really going on today, especially into some of the topics that I'm going to touch on today, it's clear they don't want you looking at these topics, and they want you focused on things that they can control. Very important. And as if it's interesting to see the stream get shut down as we're talking about this. Now, the reason I bring this up today was more to point out something like this. Simple concepts of suppression and not necessarily censorship from platforms or removing people from entirely being able to broadcast. But if you notice on my tweet of today's show that I put out before I started, how the title is correct, the hashtag's correct, but if you take notice of the actual video, interesting how it says TLAV Research and Review 897, and then even has an image icon of a video from before that. Interesting how the point here I'm showing you is that there's more things than just complete censorship and removal from platforms. There is suppression. There's manipulation. And every video I've done for the past week has had that same title and that same image, regardless of updates and changes and different things. And it does change after the fact. But the point being that people don't tune in because they think it's a show that they've already seen. And this is nothing new. But again, interestingly, as we start this show and the stream gets shut down, the point being that there are things they don't want us talking about. And that needs to be increasingly important for us to pay attention to and understand that, you know, if I jump on this platform talking about the Supreme Court appointment and left versus right, of course, that's going to be spread far and wide. But when things are demonetized before I even go live, talking about topics they don't want us to discuss, it's all the more important that we begin paying attention. That being said, let's get into the first article of the day. This one coming from Medium.com entitled, Four Reasons Why Interventionism in Syria is Crazy and stupid. And I absolutely couldn't agree more. So as the U.S. continues to ramp up its threats of illegal force against Syria in protection of the al-Qaeda-held province of Idlib, the New York Times published an op-ed explaining that the U.S. should intervene militarily in order to now thwart the geopolitical agendas of Iran. He argues that any movement to recapture Idlib should be met with a full-scale assault on the Syrian government, crippling its air force and attacking Bashar al-Assad's presidential palaces. The article says this must be done to, in fact, prevent Tehran from, quote, consolidating a Shiite crescent stretching from Bandar Abbas on the Persian Gulf to the Bekaa Valley in Lebanon. As Caitlin Johnstone, the author, says, sometimes all you can do is laugh. These propagandists keep giving us all these different unrelated reasons why the U.S. and its allies should definitely totally intervene in Syria and overthrow its government. It's because the Syrian people want freedom and democracy. Wait, no, it's because Assad is violating international law by using chemical weapons. Actually, it's to thwart Putin's agendas. Scratch that, it's now to stop Iran. We're being given all these different stories about why a regime change intervention in Iraq's next-door neighbor, Syria, is needed. And the only thing those stories seem to have in common is that they all require a large amount of expensive weaponry being discharged upon the human beings who back the Syrian government. Maybe, just maybe, taking out the Syrian government has in fact always been the real goal, and they're just making up different excuses to see what sticks. And that couldn't be more true. As we pointed out on the show more times than I can count, clearly what they're trying to accomplish, especially in particular in regard to the claims about chemical weapons yet again, even though the previous ones had been debunked and they continue to assert that they haven't, which is easily verifiable, they're trying to find different ways to grab your attention and manipulate your perception every single day. And to quickly run over the 4 points she makes, which are all incredibly valid, and as always, I recommend you read this article for yourself, dive into each of these points and see her analysis of them. But these points are very, very relevant to what we're talking about. First one, U.S.-led military interventionism in modern times is literally always disastrous, literally never helpful, and literally never accomplishes what its proponents claim that it will accomplish. And that couldn't be more true. We pointed out an article from Whitney Webb in the past that points out the fact that 9 of the world's 10 least peaceful nations were all, in fact, targeted by U.S. intervention. Or, excuse me, U.S. liberation. Seems like that liberation not working too well for them today. As she points out, 9 of the 10 world's least peaceful nations today were countries that were supposedly liberated by the United States government. Very revealing. And many more points than just that. Understanding that the clear path of destruction was never meant to liberate these countries. There's a much larger plan behind all of it. As we pointed out on many shows, whether we're talking about General Wesley Clark or the other many other documentation that shows that was actually their plan. But that point, you could be sent home a million different ways. But if anyone cares to actually do their research, it becomes wildly apparent that interventionism is not about rescuing civilians or any other claim they put forward. As she points out, they continue to change their narrative nonetheless. Number two, all of the violence in Syria is entirely the fault of the U.S. empire in the first place, which is, in fact, easily verifiable as well. As she points out in the article, she lists about 11 different ways you can verify that. Seeing that, first of all, the concept that 2011, the civil war, or rather the illegal invasion, began because Assad was hurting civilians, is in fact not true, first of all, but secondly, that they were there, the U.S. was present and manipulating Syria well before 2011. So it's all completely a lie. Not very shocking. Number three, the narrative that Assad is gassing civilians makes no sense. And again, is also easily debunkable that it even happened, but also makes no sense from a geostrategic standpoint. The idea that he would literally do this. Understanding as well, as Moon of Alabama points out, very, very well, really describing the concept of how chemical weapons are really not even that effective in the large scheme, that regular munitions are much more effective, that actually doing this serves literally no purpose unless you're buying into the nonsensical concept that he is simply a maniac and just gets off somehow by bombing kids with gas, which is literally absurd when you actually look at the information in front of you. But people don't want to do that. They want to just simply buy what they're selling you because it's easy. Don't do that. Don't give in to that. Be smarter than that. Just simply do your own research. It's very easy to see. Number four, we know that they are lying to us, which is so easy to verify. As I pointed out, even by their own admission, having someone like Mattis admit that they don't have evidence to support the claims of using sarin gas in multiple different situations, yet Nikki Haley routinely refers to them as if they're fact. That in of itself is a blatant lie, and they know that. And I could list off about 15 others, which I have in the past, and I will reference you to the many other shows where I point out how easy it is to verify that Nikki Haley, as well as many others, are lying, in regard to particularly about Idlib today, where the State Department themselves admitted that it is the largest al-Qaeda stronghold since 9/11, and yet now they're currently calling it a rebel enclave, and we need to rush in and save these people. All lies around it to achieve their long-sought goal of overthrowing Assad in the Syrian government, the rightful Syrian government. And this narrative they have about protecting sovereignty while literally violating the sovereignty of countries is appalling and insulting to your intelligence. Moving on to the next story coming from Moon of Alabama. If you're not familiar, it's a outlet I highly recommend you check out. Does excellent research. This one, entitled Syria, Al-Qaeda and Turkey stage, quote, peaceful civilians events. The point being that they are staging protests to manipulate your perception, as well as many other things. Very, very revealing. So Turkey and other supporters of the terrorists in Syria arranged for fresh Friday demonstrations by civilians in Idlib governance. They're supposed to show the Western public that the population of the Al-Qaeda-controlled province is still in favor of anti-Assad revolution. Some tweets from yesterday make clear that these demonstrations are a highly choreographed propaganda exercise, and that an array of European press agencies with security will enter Idlib City to cover the demonstrations there. Interesting. Idlib is controlled by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, al-Qaeda, an internationally banned al-Qaeda organization. Turkey, which has friendly relations with al-Qaeda in Syria, will have arranged for the security of these foreign media, as this article clearly points out. Understanding Turkey is currently there again, backing al-Qaeda against the Syrian government. And some prominent people also spoke out about the event. One person spoke out saying the son of al-Qaeda co-founder, Abdullah Amaz, his name is Huthafi Amaz, calls on opposition in Idlib apparently not to raise black jihadi flags during tomorrow's protest because only revolution flags should be shown because there's an international journalist that will be on the ground reporting on these protests. Literally asking them, don't show your colors because they're going to be watching. We need to manipulate their perception. Now, don't take my word for it. Check out this article for yourself and read the information. But the reality is this should not come as a shock to realize that the Western governments are manipulating what's happening on the ground to carry out a political agenda. That shouldn't be easy to convince somebody is happening, excuse me, when we actually have seen easily verifiable information of the past that this is something that is routine for the Western governments. You can ask yourself whether it's happening now. Of course, that's a logical question to ask. But the reality is that this is something that the U.S. government specifically has a long history of doing. So ask yourself if they would do it now. Of course they would. And in that same vein of thought, moving on to the next article, coming from strategicculture.com, a very, very damning article, probably in my opinion, one of the most important articles of today, entitled U.S. Biological Warfare Program in the Spotlight. Again. Very, very revealing. This is a pretty damning article. Now, it's being reported that the Richard Lugar Center for Public Health Research Laboratory, a research facility for high-level biohazard agents located near Tbilisi, Georgia, now not Georgia, the state in the United States, but the country, has used human beings for conducting biological experiments. Understand reports coming out that they are using human beings for conducting biological experiments. That's a massive claim. Former Minister of State Security of Georgia himself, Igor Gheorghadze, I'm probably ruining his name there, during a news conference in Moscow, urged U.S. President Donald Trump to launch an investigation. He has declassified documents that have lists of Georgians who died of hepatitis after undergoing treatment in a secret lab facility run by the U.S. military in 2015 and 2016. The U.S. has bio laboratories, apparently, in 25 countries across the world, including the post-Soviet space. They are funded by the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, the DTRA, except foreign inspectors are apparently denied access to them. Now, think about this in a larger scheme. We're also going to be talking about the ICC in a moment. So the U.S. apparently is not bound by the United Nations, the International Criminal Court, the IAEA, the Nuclear Investigation Organization, or any possible agency that can assure that they're not apparently creating bioweapons or any number of other things they could be doing illegally. This is very revealing when you understand that the U.S. continues to put its thumb on other countries about things they might be doing wrong, even based on these agencies or the United Nations themselves, yet continually fails to adhere to those very organizations. That's very revealing. It says quite a lot. Now, it should be noted that independent journalist investigations have been made public to, in fact, confirm the fact that the U.S. military conducts secret research to pose a threat to environment and population. Jeremy Silverman, an American journalist who has lived in Georgia for many years, is sure, he says, the Richard Lugar Center, as well as other labs, are involved in secret activities to create biological weapons. Georgia and Ukraine have been recently hit by mysterious disease outbreaks, with livestock killed and human lives endangered. The U.S. military operates the Central Reference Laboratory in Kazakhstan since 2016. There have been public protests against the facility. In 2013, a Chinese Air Force colonel, Dao Zhu, accused the U.S. government of creating a new strain of bird flu that's now afflicting parts of China as a biological warfare attack. According to him, the American military released the H7N9 bird flu virus into China in an act of biological warfare. It has been reported that the source of Ebola virus in West Africa were U.S. Wharf biowarfare labs. That's actually been reported as a source of the Ebola virus. The U.S. activities violate the Biological Weapons Convention, the BWC, a legally binding treaty that outlaws biological arms. But of course, it's yet another treaty that the U.S. holds everybody else to that they fail to adhere to themselves. It effectively prohibits the deployment, production, acquisition, transfer, retention, stockpiling, and use of biological and toxic weapons, and is a key element in the international community's efforts to address the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. In force since 1975, the convention has 181 state parties today. The BWC reaffirms the 1925 Geneva Protocol, which prohibits the biological weapons use. In 1969, U.S. President Richard Nixon formally ended all offensive aspects of the U.S. biological warfare program, on record, apparently. In 1975, the U.S. ratified both the 1925 Geneva Protocol and the BWC. Negotiations on internationally binding verification protocol, which would have included on-site inspections by an independent authority to the BWC, took place between 1995 and 2001, but the U.S. did not sign up. These are very, very damning allegations, apparently with declassified documents that prove this is in fact the case. The U.S. is currently testing on humans in these biological test sites. Very revealing, and I recommend you look into this for yourself. We will absolutely follow up on this. But the U.S. has multiple claims coming from multiple reputable people calling this out. And understand that this is not by far, if indeed true, the first time the U.S. has actually been caught manipulating human subjects, even American people. Talking about Operation Sea Spray, where they literally sprayed toxins on people in San Francisco. People actually died. This is easily researchable. Or even check out Truthstream Media has done excellent coverage of pointing out numerous times the U.S. has willingly manipulated human subjects without their knowledge, bio and otherwise. So simply based on its own history, these allegations absolutely hold water, especially since they actually have evidence to back it up. Something the U.S. seems to never really grasp, evidence to back up your claims. Moving on to the next story coming from mintpressnews.com. This one, very damning, of course, with everything else going on, entitled Amid Yemen Bloodbath and Riyadh's Fears, Reports of New Israel-Saudi Arms Deal. Of course, just bunching them together, the U.S., Saudi Arabia, Israel, working together to carry out the world's ongoing human rights and war crimes that just everybody else sit down and don't worry about it. The U.S., Israel, and Saudi Arabia have it covered. They will take care of all the war crimes and human rights violations for everybody. Working together. Just the fact that this is even happening with what's currently going on in Palestine and Yemen is staggering. And no one seems to care. Israel issued a denial, of course, Thursday, of a report that it inked a deal to sell the Iron Dome missile defense system to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia after reports of such a deal in Arabic language news media citing unnamed high-level diplomatic sources spread across the world press. The denial comes as the Saudis continue to spend billions on weaponry, almost entirely from the U.S. at the moment, since engaging in its war of outright aggression and illegal invasion of Yemen. It also comes as the Saudi regime, under the leadership of Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who just recently openly stated that he's going to continue targeting children, continues to be criticized for the effects of the cruel war he's carrying out on Yemen and its increasingly open relationship with Tel Aviv. Israel, who is currently illegally occupying Palestine and doing, if not as much, as worse on them that they're doing in Yemen right now. In a report on the deal, which was allegedly worth upwards of tens of millions of dollars, which is not much when you consider that the U.S. is talking about $300+ billion over the next decade, officials were cited who claimed that the sale would potentially be the first of many pending the successful operation of the system along the Saudi border with Yemen, where multiple projectiles and ballistic missiles have been launched by popular forces toward military targets in Saudi-controlled territory, as they report. Now, it's interesting to understand this development because this is a very bad thing. When we're talking about currently the worst humanitarian crisis in the world being ramped up by the involvement of Israel, a nation clearly okay with carrying out open war crimes, knowing it has the support of the United States, as well as Saudi Arabia. So as they team up to carry out and increase the worst humanitarian crisis in the world, continue bombing busfuls of children and women, it's only going to get worse. And that's very alarming and only further demonstrates what side the U.S. is really on today. Rather, the U.S. oligarchy, who continues to ignore the actual cries of its people and even currently of Congress themselves. Very revealing and says quite a lot. Moving on to the next story coming from ZeroHedge.com, this one in regard to finance and domestic policy, which is very, very alarming and relates to foreign policy as well. Entitled, U.S. government spends a record $433 billion in 1 month as deficit explodes. So the U.S. budget deficit for the first 11 months of fiscal year 2018, according to the CBO data, hit $895 billion, actually up $222 billion, or 39% from the same period last year. According to CBO calculations, the U.S. would hit a $1 trillion deficit in calendar year 2019, actually 1 year sooner than the previous forecast of 2020. Today, the U.S. Treasury released the detailed budget deficit breakdown for the month of September and the first 11 months of the year, and the numbers are alarming, to say the least. According to the latest monthly Treasury statement in August, the U.S. collected only $219 billion in tax receipts, consisting of $106 billion in individual income tax, $93 billion in Social Security and payroll tax, and negative $3 billion in corporate tax, and $24 billion in other taxes and duties, a drop of 3.2% from the $226 billion collected last August. Now, the issue is not collecting more taxes, but rather lowering spending, which is the real point here. And the real highlight of the August budget report was that government outlays, or total spending, soared to $433.3 billion. Not only 30% higher than a year ago, but the highest government monthly outlay of any month on record. Is spending more in that 1 month than any other month on record for the U.S. government. That is staggering. And of course, we pointed out before, the U.S. debt now is now higher, recently hit $21.3 trillion. Really think about what that means. And as we continue to point out, there's a lot of different factors in regard to this topic and the deficit in general. But for me, the one you know always stands out, of course, is how much money is currently being spent on the military. And a very easy way to cut back on spending, which could change what we're talking about here today, is in military spending. As we currently spend more than apparently the next 12 countries combined. And a really easy way to say that is the U.S. currently spends more than the rest of the world combined. Think about that. On its military, as it claims that Russia and China, particularly, who are a fraction of what you're looking at here, $711 billion is a modest estimate when you understand there's much more that adds to that that's not technically included in the military, but is going towards the military. That is staggering. And yet we're operating at a massive deficit and are currently over $21 trillion in debt. Again, as I always point out, just so happens to be the exact same amount the Pentagon is unaccounted for. Just a $21 trillion amount, just we don't know where it is, but they do actually, and it goes right there. Military spending, more than that, that's what we see. And that should be very alarming to all of us, that this is what's actually happening. As the deficit continues to explode, the debt continues to skyrocket, and guess what? Things only continue the way they're going and increasing. Why is that? Because they simply don't care. It is about military spending and it's about making money for the people involved. It has nothing to do with what's best for this country. That's what needs to settle with us. We need to recognize what that actually means. Moving on to the next article, the final one of the day, this one coming from MiddleEastEye.com entitled, The ICC is Dead to Us. America declares war on international justice. So the purpose of the ICC was agreed by the treaty between 120 countries in 1998. Rome statute to provide justice for genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes when national systems fail. Sounds like that makes sense, in particular to what we're talking about with Israel, Saudi Arabia, and even the United States. which is entirely the point today, because that's what's happening. Some of those who back then voted against it included China, Iraq, Israel, Libya, Qatar, and, of course, the United States. The U.S. has failed to prosecute anyone for the crimes that it did commit in Afghanistan and many, many other illegal bombings, acts of torture, illegal occupations, invasions, and many other countries. But of course, it continues to cry foul on its enemies. Late last year, the International Criminal Court's chief prosecutor, Fatou Bensouda, announced plans by the ICC to start investigations into historic allegations of detainee abuse. This followed a 2016 ICC report that affirmed a, quote, reasonable basis to believe that the U.S. had in fact carried out torture in Afghanistan, something we know is the case. However, in a Washington speech this last week, Bolton claimed himself, John Bolton, claimed the ICC is illegitimate and promised the U.S. would use any means necessary, he's quoting, to say, to protect our citizens and those of our allies from unjust prosecution. Of course, talking about Israel and Saudi Arabia. Literally threatening them. He says, quote, we will not cooperate with the ICC. We will provide no assistance to the ICC. We will not join the ICC. We will not let the ICC, or we will let the ICC die on its own. After all, for all its intents and purposes, the ICC is already dead to us. Bolton went even further still, issuing open threats of sanctions and prosecutions against not only ICC officials, but anyone who helps them. This is the act of an authoritarian government. This is the act of something, if carried out by any one of America's allies, would be openly crucified on the world stage by the United States, calling them a dictator. But it's different this time, I guess. He says, quote, we will prosecute them in the U.S. criminal system. We will do the same for any company or state that assists an ICC investigation of Americans. Now, of course, recognize the astounding hubris and hypocrisy of saying, no, we will not adhere to this international treaty. And no, we do not recognize the authority of the international court. But however, we will try anyone who stands against us in a U.S. court. Very clearly saying something there. Literally contradicting a stance that he took in his own speech, saying that we will try you in our court. That's an incredible thing to say. Perhaps ICC officials themselves may now be subject to extraordinary rendition brought back to the United States. Think about what he's saying there. But when asked by the press, the State Department bent over backwards to avoid giving any real answers. And this is quite profound.
I want to ask you about some comments that National Security Advisor Ambassador Bolton made yesterday.
Okay.
About the International Criminal Court. I'm sure there'll be other questions about Palestinians too, but mine are about the ICC. In his speech at the Federalist Society, Ambassador Bolton said that if they, meaning the ICC, come after us, essentially, I'm paraphrasing here, we'll go after them.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the U.S. would impose sanctions on ICC employees, prosecutors, judges, even bring charges against them in the U.S. And I'd like to know, what legal authority does the administration think it has to do such a thing, to either freeze assets or impose travel bans or even prosecute?
Well, Matt, as you all know, we don't get ahead of announcements or some decisions or deliberations that the U.S. government may be making or may be taking in the future. So I'm not going to get ahead of anything that the administration may or may not be doing, and I would just have to refer you over to Ambassador Bolton's, his communication staff to answer your questions on that in particular. I can speak about our concerns about the international, the ICC.
I think that we heard plenty of the concerns yesterday from Ambassador Bolton. He outlined them quite clearly. I don't think we need to go through those together again. But what I do want to know, if this is not a hypothetical question, he said that this would happen, that the U.S. will impose sanctions on individual ICC employees as well as prosecute them. And I want to know, where does he and the rest of the administration, presuming the rest of the administration signed off on this, where does the administration think that it gets the legal authority to to do something like that.
Matt, once again, I will say it again, and one last time, I'm not going to forecast any potential sanctions or actions or activities that the U.S. government may take in the future.
I'm not asking for forecasting. Mm-hmm. No, I'm asking you what authority the administration thinks it has to do something.
And for
like
any
that.
Additional information on that, I'd have to refer you to Ambassador Bolton's staff. I can tell you, however, that here in the United States, the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, is our highest legal authority and our highest judicial authority.
That's wonderful.
And that is, I'm sorry, maybe you don't care to hear that, but maybe there are others out there who do. The administration, and my job is to help discuss U.S. policy and our beliefs here at the State Department as a part of this administration.
Ambassador Bolton didn't discuss his speech with any of the State Department?
No, we are fully aware and fully informed of this speech, but for the specifics, if you're interested in jumping ahead and looking at what actions we may or may not take in
the
future, then I'd refer you to Ambassador Bolton's office, and I'd be more than happy to put you in touch with his people.
Which runs American diplomacy, or did, for to answer a question that is pretty should be pretty easy to answer, or... I mean, I don't get it. Because
okay. Thank you for your opinions, Matt. I'll go over to Michelle. Hi, Michelle. But one of the key principles of this administration, and it's laid out in our national security strategy as well, is sovereignty, and that each country has its own sovereign rights, including our own. And encompassed in our own sovereign right is the fact that we have a fair and independent judiciary. We feel that that fair and independent judiciary more than backs up and takes care of any judicial issues that would confront, that would be in front of U.S. citizens and also U.S. service members.
Would you say that even close allies of the United States that would cooperate with the ICC would face consequences, sanctions?
You're asking me to forecast sanctions, and I'll say I think this is the fourth or fifth time. If Ambassador Bolton wants to say that, that's certainly his right to do so. I don't speak for Ambassador Bolton, and we're in obviously very different positions. Very different positions in government.
The State Department doesn't know what Ambassador.
Well, Matt, you're flat out wrong. Okay, you're flat out wrong.
You should be able to explain it.
Okay, I don't need you.
With respect,
yelling at me today.
You should be able to explain what exactly his threats and warnings were.
And I think that's why I say, and I will say this one last time: we are not going to forecast actions, activities, sanctions, and other steps. And I will leave it at that.
And that really does speak volumes when you really understand what's the entire premise and how she is literally doing everything within her power to avoid actually addressing the question that he's asking. And I'm increasingly impressed with Matt Lee for his efforts to actually ask her real questions. And you can tell how frustrated he is. But whatever the case, the U.S. reaction has been almost hysterical about the ICC. But considering the U.S. Senate report on CIA torture concluded that the U.S. personnel tortured many of the 219 terrorist suspects in their custody, such allegations are not new. Indeed, the U.S. has admitted them to a degree, but it's okay because the U.S. is the good guy, as is the usual U.S. stance. When the U.S. does it, I guess it's not wrong. And that truly speaks volumes on both the willful ignorance in regard to U.S. allies and their egregious war crimes and the illegal actions of the U.S. in the many countries it's currently illegally occupying. Thank you for tuning in today. And as I just realized, even as this video finishes, yet again recognizing more suppression and manipulation by YouTube, that apparently this video is already being manipulated and unlisted, so all the people that were tuning in from the beginning are only just now realizing this video is even going on. Hopefully this will get more views on the replay, but the realization here, people, is that they are doing everything in their power to stop topics like this from being seen. And that is profound. Of course, there's much more than just deleting people from platforms. There is literally suppressing people and stopping reach of videos intentionally. So the ideas never get out. Now, you can stop people. You cannot stop ideas. We will continue to spread this information every day without fail, regardless of what they do. So be sure and get this out there and spread the word. Spread this and watch this on DTube and BitChute and Reel.Video and all the other places that they are, and show them that they will not stop us from spreading the truth about what's going on around the world in our name, in Yemen, in Syria, in Georgia, where the U.S. is apparently carrying out biological experiments on human beings We will continue to spread that word, regardless of what they do. Make sure you check out all the independent sources in the show notes below, and as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.